Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's listen to Carson Wentz. He is yesterday's news, unless he gets into this game, which he could. Elliot did a tremendous job, and Elliot's going to join us in just a moment. Tremendous job by Elliot. I'm honest to God, maybe the first person to really finally get Carson Wentz on the record about his tenure in Philadelphia, at least to an extent. Here is Elliot and Carson yesterday.
Think about your time in Philadelphia.
Yeah, obviously it was a tough ending, without a doubt. I mean, it was a COVID year, too, so everything about it was just weird, the way it kind of unfolded. But a lot of great memories. You know, for me, it was buying my first house, you know, getting married, all sorts of things. I had my first kid when we lived together. So it's a lot of great memories, a lot of good times. You know, winning the Super Bowl was amazing. A lot of memories and friendships that I'll have the rest of my life. So it's, you know, there's definitely no hard feelings. You know, you wish you would have went a different way, all those things, but you can't really kind of have any regrets on that front.
What's crazy is it's been almost 10 years since 2017. Do you ever think about the reunion for that team, seeing all those old guys? Like, is that something you would come back for to celebrate?
Yeah, it's crazy that things have been that long, I'm not going to lie, but while I'm still playing, I don't think about all those reunion things. I'm sure that day will come, but like I said, a lot of great friends and relationships I'll cherish for the rest of my life from that team.
Guy, that was the money question from Elliot. You coming back for the reunion. Now, I'll say this in Carson's defense. He doesn't know if he's going to be an active player in 3 years or not. So it makes it a little complicated if the Eagles do the reunion during the season. However,
Carson gave him this.
We'll see what happens.
Exactly. He did not. I'll say this. He didn't. Carson did not exactly give a Mark Zumoff.
Yes! Oh, yes!
He could have said, absolutely. No, the first chance I get to be around those guys,
I'm already looking
there.
Forward to it, man. Yeah, it's going to be so cool. What a moment.
Yeah, he sure did not
go
there.
I really did think that might be his answer. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, when is it?
Elliot did a great job.
But that's not what he said.
No, he didn't. By the way, one more thing from Carson, and then right to Elliot, who's ready to roll. Look, fascinating. Foles had been here. Jalen was here year one with Carson, obviously. Let's listen more of Carson and Elliot talking about those two quarterbacks.
You ever talk to Nick Foles at all?
Yeah.
How's your relationship with him?
Nick's great. I love Nick. We still reach out to each other the last couple of years. One of the better teammates I've ever had, without a doubt. The way that all unfolded that year is still pretty magical for him, and still a great friendship there.
You shared a locker room with Jalen for a year, Jalen Hurts. Now that you've seen the success he has, I'm just curious, what do you remember about him early in his career? Did you see he had this in him?
Yeah, no, I thought, you know, the moment he got there, he looked good, honestly. I thought he threw the ball well, and he just kind of put his nose down and went to work. And it was also the COVID year, so building a relationship with guys was extremely tough, you know, just all rookies in general. So all of that kind of just was weird and awkward, but I do think from the start you could tell he had good competitiveness and, you know, he could throw the ball pretty well, and everybody knew he was an athlete coming in, so I think all those things, you know, you never know kind of how it all pan out, but I think I was impressed from the start.
Really well done by Elliot, drilling down with Carson right there. For more from Elliot from New Orleans, as we are now 5 days away from kickoff, 5.5 days, if you will. Elliot Shore Parks brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Elliot, good job, bud. That was really well done.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And it was good to hear from Carson. You know, I feel like since Philly, he's been with the Colts and, you know, all the teams he's been with. This feels like the first time I really got a chance to, like, talk to him about it and catch up about it. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear what he had to say.
How was he different? How could you perceive him in a different way?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so the times I've been around Carson, like, since it ended in Philly, and frankly, like he said, it was the COVID year the last time he was here, so I wasn't even really around him that much that year. But just my perception is, I thought he seemed in a much better place just from the last time I had spoken to him to the time, you know, you see him when he was with Washington and, you know, post-game press conferences there. He seemed in a good place. He came out. He remembered everybody. He seemed ready and prepared to talk about it. I had thought maybe he would try to avoid it or, you know, be like, oh, I'm with the Chiefs. I'm not talking about that. But he attacked everything head on and he talked about it. And, I think he seemed in a good place about it.
Did he seem humbled in any way?
I don't know if I would use the word humbled in my, I don't think he seemed humbled. My biggest takeaway is I think he seemed at peace with it, which I actually am happy for him for that. Cause I'm sure that there will always be some unresolved issues with him about how it ended and the Super Bowl, like all that. But when you hear him talk about the 10-year anniversary or talk about Nick, like I do hope he's able at one point, and it sounds like he's there, to look back at his time in Philly, you know, without just complete regret and anger about it.
Sure, I agree with you.
And it does sound like maybe he's either there or on the way to that, and that's good to see.
Did his attitude toward you? You said that he seemed like he recognized you, and yeah. Did it feel like he was friendly toward you? His attitude, what was it?
Yeah, he was very friendly towards everyone that was around. I mean, it was me and two other reporters that were around, and yeah, he was very friendly. You know, again, you could tell that he knew this was coming, you know, like literally the minute he walked out, I was there waiting with another reporter. So I think he knew it was coming and he was ready for it. And like I said, I give him credit. Like he very easily could have said, hey, I'm with the Chiefs now. Like, you know, I'm not talking about it. Like, hey, I'm focused on this game. And he did it. Like, and I'll also say to add a little more context. He probably stood there for 25 minutes after I was done and like kept answering the same question again and again and again from all the reporters. So he definitely, I thought, had a really good attitude about talking.
Makes
about
sense. That. Yeah,
that is interesting.
That's interesting.
But remember, there's nowhere else for him to go. Like it is a moment he's there for that hour.
It's like sanctions. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. He could have just been like, I'm not talking about it.
Yeah, he could have.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, Ellie, let's get to some other stuff. There's a lot to do. Let me start with this. So you probably know this from texts from friends and social media reaction. For many of us who viewed it on TV last night, many of us found it very flat, very odd, massive stadium, limited crowd, really poorly done by the NFL. Did you get any sense of that in the moment on the ground or not?
Yeah, so that was, I think, my sixth media night I've gone to, and I think it was by far the worst one. Like, it was, to your point, it had no energy, I felt. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that there's this perception sometimes that media night is like, oh, there's all these wacky reporters, and, like, all these, and it was early on. Like, the first two or three I went to, I remember thinking that. I don't know if the NFL has tried to shut down on them, like, people doing that, but it's just, it's not the event it once was. Like, it was super, super crowded. It was hard to talk to players. There weren't, in my opinion, very, like, any funny or crazy questions asked, really. Like, there were a few, but considering each sat there for an hour, I agree. Like, my takeaway from last night was it has definitely become, like, a made-for-TV event, which is fine. Like,
did COVID do this?
But a poorly one. I mean, Elliot, we couldn't even hear the questions.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
We couldn't hear the questions watching the NFL Network. Now, think about that. That's not even made for TV.
I don't know who it was made for.
That's ill-conceived.
Yeah.
I mean,
pass the mic.
I mean, have a mic.
Yeah.
Have a mic.
I agree. Like, I was literally there, and I probably couldn't tell you, like, 10% of what most of the players said. Because even if you're right there at the podium, it's like, you know, 50 reporters yelling questions. You can't really hear what he's answering.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah. You pick up.
All right, Elliot, let's get to some highlights. Carson being one of them. But what else? Yeah. And I know you couldn't be in every spot when everybody's answering questions. It's impossible. You're not General Zod at the end of Superman 2. And Richie, you get that reference.
But Zod.
What did stand out to you, Elliot? What was notable last night? Some Lurie stuff and otherwise. What hit you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Jeffrey Lurie, especially for us, you know, in Philadelphia, because Jeffrey really at this point only talks once a year if they're not in the Super Bowl. He talks at the owners' meetings and that's it. So he was there for a full hour last night, and he talked about some, like, really interesting things. Like, he talked about, you know, Nick and the contract extension. He didn't say outright it's going to happen, but it sounds like it's going to happen this offseason, so that's noteworthy. You know, he talked about the potentially a new stadium and whether he would put a dome on the stadium. Like, so I thought Jeffrey talking was most, he talked about Nick and the emotions, and he actually had a really interesting line where he said, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, you know, Nick's emotions can be his great, like can be a strength and a weakness. And I thought that was an interesting way for him to phrase
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very interesting. So are the players and coaches using the underdog status as motivation? Are they using it as anything to this point? Is that something that's not even thought of?
I don't get the sense that they're using it. You know, we'll get a chance to be with the players in a less chaotic setting today. So, you know, that's a good question to see if that's something they're attaching onto. But honestly, the sense I've gotten all year from this team is like they are just so singularly focused on winning the Super Bowl. And I know that sounds cliche, but that's just not the case for every team I've been around. Like, so while they might be underdogs in this game, and they are, they're the point and a half underdogs, I just don't think they care. I think they view this as, like, we've been working literally all year, or 2 years really, for this moment, and we're here. Like, I don't know if outside noise is going to impact, like, their focus very much or their motivation.
That feels like confidence to you? Because you can compare what they were like prior to 57 at the media night and what they were like, you know, prior to 59 at media night. And so if you had one, if you, your takeaway from last night, if you had to compare the two nights, our team's attitude at this one compared to the 57 media night was what?
Yeah. So I don't know if I would say like last night in particular, but in general and last night, like, every single time they get asked about almost anything, it's, you know, we're just focused on this game. We're only doing it for this game. And that's not just been last night. That's been throughout the season. So when I think about Super Bowl 57, obviously they were focused. I'm not saying that. But I felt like that was more of a, hey, we're here. We did it. No one said we could. Like, it was like a bit of a celebration. And I kind of think, you know, the not 57, but, you know, the last two, I thought that was kind of the view, I thought. But, like, this team all season has literally been like, we are doing this for one singular reason, to win the Super Bowl. So that was, I thought, also from what I heard last night and just talking to the players over the past week, that's definitely like the vibe they have.
Elliot Shore Parks with us from New Orleans, obviously, where he's on the scene all week. Elliot, you know, you did something in recent days I commend you for. I haven't had the guts to do it. And that's go back and watch Super Bowl 57,
yeah,
which, you know, there's an exercise in there.
Yeah.
Take the audience through what stood out to you from that Eagles Super Bowl loss that they seemingly had until they dropped it. And I'm not, you know, crushing Jalen. I don't mean to say that metaphorically, Jalen, but that was a factor. But they had the game until they didn't. What stood out to you that could tie into Super Bowl 59?
You know, honestly, I know people won't go back and rewatch it, so it's pointless to say. But I promise everyone out there, if you go back and rewatch it, you will feel more confident about this Super Bowl.
Huh.
Because I think it gets a little forgotten how they dominated that first half. They could have easily been up like 28-7, 31-7 if things go a little bit differently. And then the second half, which is maybe where people will want to turn it off, is like they just completely collapsed. Like, we view it as a defensive failure, and it was. But, like, obviously the special teams, the offense had the three and out, like, you know, not kicking, going for the touchdown instead of the field goal. So that all matters. But we just don't see that from this team anymore. And so when I watched the first half, and I also rewatched it when they beat the Chiefs last year, they've played this team for eight quarters in the past few years. And I think you could argue they have outplayed them in the majority of those quarters. So, you know, I don't know if it, how much it super matters for this upcoming game. But definitely, I just when I rewatched those two, they have outplayed the Chiefs, you know, and I think that it made me feel better about their chances.
So here's one thing I'll say, Elliot, because I vividly remember the Eagles clearly outplayed the Chiefs for good portions of the game. However, a huge part of why the Chiefs won is a huge part of why they always win. Mahomes. I mean, we can talk all and read. We can talk all we want about how the Eagles spit it up, and they did, and then there were weird factors like the field and the flag and all that. But, you know, Mahomes and Reed do what they do. They found a way to dissect you over the course of a game, and Mahomes made plays in the clutch that won his team the game and the Super Bowl. And that is still directly, I mean, Elliot, let me put it this way. That's why we have, and let me present to you the Twitter poll question of the day today. I'm fascinated to know which side of this you would vote for. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. That's why, to me, Elliot, a fascinating question approaching Sunday is this. Which unit has the greater advantage in Super Bowl 59? Is it A, Mahomes with Kansas City's offense, with obviously Andy Reid, or B, the Eagles' defense? Which unit has the bigger advantage?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. I think the premise of what you're saying is correct. Like, you have to say Mahomes. He's, you know, arguably the best.
You don't have to, though.
Well,
you don't have to.
No, well, but the thing I would say, too, when you talk about why they lost that last Super Bowl, like, yes, Mahomes was obviously a big part of it. But when you rewatch it, like, Mahomes is not on the field for every play of that football game. Like, the special teams mistake basically gifted Kansas City a touchdown. The flag at the end of the game, like, if they don't throw that flag, the defense gets a stop there, essentially, and the Eagles get the ball back. So that is the thing I feel most going into this game. Like, we'll all make predictions. I'm sure we'll all pick the Eagles. But, like, ultimately, this is going to come down to two plays, probably, and whether or not the Eagles get a break on that play. And so Mahomes is awesome, but as awesome as he was in that Super Bowl, if the special teams doesn't give up that huge return and they don't throw that flag, like, it could have very easily been a game the Eagles won.
Elliot, we know that the two teams practice in different facilities. Who's practicing where and who gets the nicer facility? Because that's always like a point of comparison.
Yeah, and I mean, it's another thing to your point, like, they're all out of their elements this week. You know, it's the biggest game of their life. And, like, they are all, like, everything they're used to doing during the week. Like,
no home field.
Exactly. So the Eagles are practicing at the Saints facility. The Chiefs are practicing at Tulane.
We got the advantage. That sounds like we have that advantage. The pro facility sounds like it's going to be nicer than the Tulane facility.
Is that because they're the home team, Elliot?
I think that's why. But honestly, like, the Saints don't really have, like, a nice stadium. So I'd be curious. I've seen videos of their facility. I'd be curious to see. My guess is the NovaCare is way nicer than the place that they're doing it right now. But, that's where they are. They were lifting yesterday. I think they don't practice till Wednesday. So they'll probably do more team meetings today.
Sure. That makes sense.
Elliot, wonderful report, my man. Enjoy today. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you quite a bit this week. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, Elliot Shure-Parks. He's a damn good reporter. He really is. And he really did get Carson on the record there. I mean, Ben, that was cool to finally hear Carson just not totally open up, but gave, you know, he opened the door a decent amount.
He seemed authentic.
He did.
He seemed authentic.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Which was something people thought he often wasn't.
Yeah, I think he's been humbled by his throughout the course of his career. And it's refreshing to hear. I mean, he obviously was a big part of that 2017.
Of course,
team.
He was
huge part.
He should get a huge ovation whenever that reunion happens.
He should.
You know what's the weird thing, Ben? I don't know if you thought about this. So Foles, who of course we cherish for all the obvious reasons, he wins that game for the Eagles. You know, wins the Minnesota game, wins the Super Bowl, and he's hero Nick Foles. Andy Reid helped rehabilitate him the prior year when Nick Foles was a backup in Kansas City, barely played, but was back up to Alex Smith in 2016. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz has had a year under Andy Reid. I mean, obviously, John, I'd like to see Patrick Mahomes not finish this game. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But it is noteworthy that it's not like Carson for the last 9 months has been, you know, dealing with a high school quarterback's coach around here.
Right.
Who's a 28-year-old guy that, you know, won a couple high school football games around here. He's been coached by Andy Reid.
If he's
for the last 9 months,
you would think that he's rehabilitating in a lot of ways.
Maybe
yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, and I know he didn't play well in that final game of the season, but you get my point. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken.
I was listening to you last week from the middle of Frozen Lake in northern Minnesota.
Nice.
Were you fishing?
You catch some walleye?
Didn't catch any walleye. Caught northern pike and some crappies.
Ooh, how big were the pike?
You know what? I didn't even measure it. Nobody's going to eat it. So
were they big enough to be scary? Were they big enough to be slimy?
Do me a favor. Let's talk about the Eagles. What do you got, Ken?
Listen, so, first of all, on this game, Look, I felt all along going into the Washington game that they were going to roll that team. I've never seen a team that seems more locked in my life and more businesslike about what they're here to do, which is win this game on Sunday. And I don't feel like I'm being overconfident or Pollyanna or overlooking anybody to say that in my gut, I really think they're going to smoke this team.
I'll be shocked if that happens. I'll truly be shocked.
I felt like, man, we're so good. There's no chance that we don't smoke whoever we go and play in this Super Bowl. And then every day that passes, it's just impossible to not see the truth of the matter.
Which
here.
Is what, John?
That coaching staff, that quarterback,
it's theirs. Just
theirs, yeah. On that side. Like, I think we all underestimate how good they can be just because we know what we want to see.
I agree with John.
Our team, I think our team's better than the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't think it's easy to be better than the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think it's close. I think it's going to be closer than we want it to be.
Here's what I'll say to your comment. And look, it's possible, okay, obviously, but I just want you to imagine this scenario. Michael Jordan plays for the other team, and Pat Riley coaches the other team. Do you still think the Eagles are going to crush him? Because I think that's what we've got. I think Mahomes is Jordan, and I think Andy Reid's
like
and all.
John Wooden is
John
the coach.
Wooden. Yeah, okay, John Wooden. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. They just seem so locked in. And look, I'm hoping, other than hoping that I'm right. I'm just hoping, obviously, hoping that I'm right about Sunday.
Sure, sure.
I'm hoping that after Sunday, even if they win by a point at the final gun.
Yep.
That next week. We're appreciating the fact, and we stopped talking about, you know, our head coach as a liability in this city, because at some point the guy's got to get credit for what he's done.
Well, you know my thing, Ken. I'd like to see them lift him up if they win the title. And I told Brandon Graham, please do it, and we'll see if they do.
With that arm.
By the way, I got to
If it's his last game, yeah,
I got to tell you this. In the event that Nick gets lifted up, which would be a great visual,
you're
and he deserves
credit
it.
For it?
No, you know who's going to get credit? Ew. Jack Fritz.
Nah, I don't like this anymore.
You get it, Seltzer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Richie gets
God,
it.
Now I get
Trey
it.
Trey Turner, mm-hmm. somehow.
Oh,
somehow,
oh, I see.
Somehow
I got
Jack
you.
Fritz.
I got you.
Like, what is that?
Just well, amazing idea. New Orleans,
then
so.
There's a Netflix thing, and like I'm not even mentioning that. I mean,
well, for what it's worth, neither's Jack.
Well,
so.
Okay, but where's the hammer here? I mean, Ben, I'm just asking for a little love. I mean, my God. I mean,
the hammer!
All right, Ken. You get my point. Ken, give me an answer.
I do get your point. The last thing I'll say is, Jaws had the best quote that I've heard. Jaws had the best quote that I've heard a few weeks ago when the playoffs started. The Vince Lombardi trophy weighs 7 pounds. It takes an entire team to lift it. And I think that's what we're going to see on Sunday with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. All right, give me the best non-Philly playoff moment ever.
Well, before there was Kirk Gibson, there was Pudge Fisk. Off the fair
pole. That's a big one, too. Big one as well. There's a couple, obviously, from baseball home run varieties, and Carlton Fisk, 75, is a big one. All right, speaking of big ones, big game coming up in 5 days. The coaches, Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni, standing right next to each other, answering questions last night. You'll hear that audio coming up in 1 minute.
The lead dog, George Perrante, says that the Dogs and Cats Rule stores, they are all aboard the Birds Mania bandwagon. Your favorite neighborhood pet store has in-stock NFL-licensed Eagles jerseys in all sizes. My Chaney's got one. He's got a Hurts jersey. He'll be wearing that on Sunday. Plus, they've got bandanas, toys, collars, and leashes, as well as fresh baked birds-themed biscuits and a special savings on chicken and beef jerky. Because you can't leave your pets out of your big game party. Buy one, get one special on Philly cheesesteak jerky and Kansas City barbecue chicken jerky. Buy one pack. Get the other for free. Make sure your pet's ready for the big game by stopping by your local Dogs and Cats Rule store and pick up a football cookie or two while you shop for their large premium selection of raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, dehydrated, air-dried food, as well as traditional cans and kibble. Talk with one of their expert staff members. They can help you with all of your pet's nutritional needs. Dogs and Cats Rule, 7 neighborhood locations, Princeton and Pennington in New Jersey, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, Bluebell, and New Help in Pennsylvania. Visit them online at dogsandcatsrule.pet. Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family, Go Birds.
All right, so Go Birds indeed on this Tuesday morning, getting ever closer to kickoff Sunday around 6:30. So it's obviously going to be Reed versus Sirianni again. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, Andy Reid, I think, had a huge role in the Chiefs winning that game. And I thought Nick coached a fine game with one exception. He should have gone for the fourth down in the fourth quarter when he punted the ball. Now, it turned into bad luck that it turns into the worst punt and worst punt coverage of the whole season.
Semi-bad luck. Also, their fault for having that punter as their punter.
Well, you're right. Know? You're right.
Sipos, right?
They should not. Yeah, Sipos. Yeah. They should not have still had him on the roster. Yep. James, you were saying that the last half
all
of the season.
All season, I felt like. Yeah.
I know. And I thought it was a mistake to punt it at fourth and two or fourth and three, something like that. With that said, it's an opportunity for Nick Sirianni to get his first ring. Let's hope he doesn't go 0 for 2. Nick and Andy standing right next to each other last night, interviewed on the NFL Network, part of the coverage, obviously the big night last night. Here's the whole thing.
I am here with the head coaches of both teams, your NFC champion Eagles, Nick Sirianni, and your AFC champion Chiefs, Mr. Andy Reid. Nick, I start with you. You guys were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This year, you start 2-2. You go to the bye week. Been red hot. Only lost one game since. What clicked for this team at that point in the season?
You know, again, we were just trying to come together as a football team. You know, every game's its own obstacle. We started off 2-2, and then we just tried to play it one game at a time. Tried to get a little bit better each week, and here we are.
Different group from 2 years ago. A lot of holdovers, but some new faces. What makes this team unique from the one that we saw competing against Kansas City in 2023?
Yeah, every team, every year is a new team. Just got a lot of great guys, a lot of great players. I think what you see from our team is just a commitment to play for each other and play together. These guys love each other and just trying to get better as a football team each week.
Andy, you heard about Patrick saying all credit goes to Coach Reid. You guys have really built a culture here. What makes you proudest of this unit going here for the three-peat, the first team to ever get a chance to do that in Super Bowl history?
Listen, they're good human beings. That's the most important thing, and good football players. But most of all, I'm proud of them for just being good guys.
How about the respect you have for this Eagles team and what they can bring to the table? And it's not going to be an easy game on Sunday.
Oh, listen, Nick's done a great job with these guys and the players. They've got tremendous talent, and they play their tails off. So, and all the way from ownership on down, they've got it together and well-deserved to be here.
Gentlemen, good luck on Sunday.
That's Andy and Nick last night. Let me ask you guys a question. Does the losing coach, within a day or two, text the winning coach congratulations?
Yes.
I think
depends.
So.
I tend to think so, too. Relationship, right?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just think if you don't have a relationship or there's bad blood in the past, I would say no.
They would make it hard.
Yeah.
I tend to think these guys would do it.
I still think they would do it.
Yeah. I would do it.
I would guess it happens 99% of the time.
I would say 100% of the time, these two.
Yeah.
These two for sure.
100%
do it.
Yeah, different.
Some guys,
mutual respect.
If Buddy Ryan had gotten in the Super Bowl, which he did not as a head coach, he won two as an assistant. One with the Jets in Super Bowl 3. And one with the Bears in Super Bowl 20 assistants. But he would not text.
No.
I don't think.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. I don't think. Belichick, would he do it? I don't know.
That's a good question.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think he would. I think he would say.
I don't know. He might. He has such a respect for the history of football.
He does
and all
have that,
you know.
But he can be a pain in the ass. Remember, he said snap. Oh,
remember,
face
he texted, but he texted
stuff.
Brian Daboll and Brian Flores, and that whole thing got him in trouble.
Oh,
he's a texter. He texts every once in a while.
That's true. All right. So I thought one of the funnier moments last night came from Jalen Hurts, cut up that he is, cracking jokes. So Ben Davis asks a question to Jalen last night about Ben not being a very good looking guy. Now, this might not be Ben Davis, but some guy wanted some help with his looks, and Jalen actually gave him a funny response. Let's listen to this exchange.
How can I get more handsome? My girlfriend says the most handsome quarterback in the league. Any advice, like something to do with my hair? I'm desperate, anything.
Man, I don't know if I can help you on that one. That sounds like a DNA thing.
Look at that. Look at Jalen. Benny's saying you got bad DNA.
Who asked that question? I don't know.
So bizarre.
What? That's so off the wall.
Is Jalen especially handsome?
Yes. I think Jalen is especially handsome. Yes. He is a very handsome man.
Very good looking guy.
It's so funny, though. Yeah. And look, and credit to Jalen for actually, you know, cracking a line right
nice,
there.
Nice work by him.
I like that, man. Yeah. That was good. That was well done.
That was the best I've seen him up on a podium, I think, ever.
He did seem relaxed.
Yep.
In a really good way.
Which made me feel good.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, Ram.